Hello everyone, welcome to this week's episode of the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's derby defeat to Cove Rangers, preview this Saturday's home game with Queen's Park, and we'll be hearing from manager Jim McAnally, as well as Nia Payne and David Wilson. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as ever is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks yourself.
I'm not too bad. Just be getting there again, another week by week, seems to be flying in.
I think I heard on the radio it's just coming in, it's like 40 days till Christmas, so it's not far away.
I have actually started looking at my Christmas shopping, I have to say, so we are kind of approaching that kind of time of year again. We will...
It's only joy going about, is it?
After Saturday, I think that's probably about it, and we've segued nicely into that then, so... 3-0 loss against Cove, another game in the league that we've failed to score against them. Worryingly, I think Mayor is another 3 goals conceded away from home. Before we sort of get into it too much, what's your thoughts on it overall?
I think I stupidly said last week we'd get something for the game, didn't we? I thought there was a chance for us. Overall, again, it's the same as last week, it's bitterly disappointing. And as you said, I think the Mayor worrying part now is that's 2 games in a row where we shipped 3 goals. And again, it's another week where we look like it could have been 5 or 6 quite easily. You know, it's one thing they scoring goals, but you sort of bow, you know, hey, foundations to keep it tight at the back. And we look absolutely horrendous at the back. And they even got a sugar coat it. We look bad.
Yeah, I'm really, really disappointed, particularly with this one. I know we've had occasions this season, last season as well, where we've... The results have been bad, but the performances, you could suggest as well, have been there. But this was just so bad a performance. I'm really, as I said, disappointed, angry. I'm really annoyed because it was such a big game, a big crowd. You know, we're expecting a lot of folk to turn up, and they did. I think it was about 950, Cove's biggest attendance this season, I think, and I think the majority of that would have been, well, at least half of it would have been Peterhead supporters as well, which is the mere frustrating thing as well, because they are turned up in their numbers to support the team. It just, to me, it just looked like the players hadn't even played each other before. Just no cohesion, there didn't seem to be a game plan. I know there was a game plan, but whether or not that was put into place, there's obviously a business. Once Jim and David given the instructions, but it was just so bad. I mean, even the guys that you would normally think would get pass marks, didn't they? And speaking of Scott Brown, for example, normally would be reliable. He was off his game. For me, the only ones that really passed. And I'm saying pass, but they just got pass marks, was Duffy, Flynn Duffy, Andy McCarthy and David Wilson. I think they were the only ones that really performed to any kind of level.
Yeah.
I'm starting to hell rant here, but I'm just going to keep going because it's been a frustration. And even up front, you expect somebody like Russell McLean to perform. Again, Nia Payne was back into the starting lineup. But they just, the two of them just were so distant for the rest of the team. It was unbelievable. McLean got substituted kind of halfway through the second half, which was no surprise. He didn't really sort of perform well. So I'm just really, really just bitterly disappointed and angry with the performance.
I would have liked to came beforehand for the game plan was. You know, this is not to berate the guys, but it certainly, as you said, it looked like guys that hadn't played with each other before. I think there was too big a gap between the striker and the midfield, and then in turn the midfield and the defence. And it just, as you said, there was a lack of cohesion. The midfield, I said it before, but they seemed to take an extra touch too many, caught in possession, and Cove were just relentless with their pressure. And I think there is times during a game that you'll be under pressure, but then with no out ball, I think... With respect, Russell's got to do a lot better. He's got to get himself involved in the game. It's all right being up top and waiting for the ball. If it's not working, make it work. Try and help out your team. Yeah, it was poor. And I said last week, you try and take positives out of it or try and find some. How Dave and Jim try and get positives out of that, I'll be dumbfounded.
I know a lot of folk will say, "Oh well, can Cove have overtaken us? Can they're a better team?" But okay, they've got the finances now; they can afford to pay the wages that some of the players are on. But if you're going to make it easy for them, it doesn't matter how much wages they're on. It's just so bad a performance. You're sort of scratching your head. You're thinking, far do you go for here? That's 6 out of 7 away from home lost.
First shot on target, and probably the only shot on target was in the 89th minute, just going into the 90th.
Derby game.
Yeah, it was so.
I mean, even right for the very, very first minute or so, they could have been one up.
It was just
a barrage of chances, mistakes at the back, mistakes in the midfield, you know, passes not being strung together, people giving the ball away. It was just really, really. I would say a bad day at the office, but that was just the worst.
It's been building, though, because we didn't play great against Montrose. With Falkirk, and then we go away to Airdrie, and the performances over the last 4 weeks have just been getting progressively worse, and you can see that by the performance individually as well.
Yeah.
About 2 months ago, Scott Brown got them together and had a chat with the players as a team. You know, you try and do them meetings once in a blue moon because you can things are bad. At what point does the captain and the players turn around and go, wait a minute, we're in real danger here? Because, yes, I do think the league is starting to split into two now. You can see the good teams rising the top and the lower teams, as you'd say, coming down the league. But, you know, if we're not careful, the games that we've got coming up as well, we're going to find ourselves in real trouble.
Yeah, as I said, it's conceding the amount of goals away from home as well. It's 3-0 loss at Cove, 3-1 against Airdrie. Now, that one was a very, very lucky one. It was 3-2 against Queen's Park, where we sort of matched them and were actually in the lead. And then 3-0 against East Fife, a really, really poor East Fife. So I mean, if you're going to offer him and conceding three every game, you really, really are going to struggle.
Puts more pressure on your home games.
Aye.
And if you've got 0-0 against Montrose and Falkirk, then that points now look really poor because you need to get a win thrown in there as well.
Yeah, and as I said, well, we've had a run of games away from home. We've got another one coming up against another top tier side. Then you look at the fixtures going into December, and they are more against teams around about us.
But it puts more pressure.
Yes, and they become even more prevalent that we need to get these kind of points. But I'm just so disappointed, so frustrated. And you can sort of tell with the folk around about us that they were just let down, I guess, would be the only way to put it.
Yeah, I think when the fans start getting a wee bit on. You know, the unrest is creeping in. It was there, let's be honest, in the sugarcoat again. There was unrest there at the start of the season. And I think that's come back in, okay, with a couple of decent performances as a result. That sort of wavered a wee bit. The unrest is back there. And the players need to, again, Scott Brown said it before, they need to look at themselves in the mirror and see, you know, how they can improve. I think that time's coming again because, yeah, Saturday was well below par.
If you look at the way that Megginson and McAllister played, they were always within sort of 5-10 yards of each other. So if one was getting a flick on, the other one was there, chucking Jamie Marston in there as well, just to kind of add in playing as a number 10. They were always there. They always seemed to be like an extra man, and that can what it was. Obviously, they didn't have an extra man, but it didn't matter if they did. They got space, and that's the kind of difference between where they're at and where they're going, and in terms of where we want to be, where we're at. These kind of players are they're new in their best games, but they've got the quality to just do something when it needs to be done. Now, as I said, we did kind of ride our luck a little bit. Two off the line first half, one off the bar. Some folk might think it's a bit of an exaggeration, but it could have easily been 5-0 at half time.
Yeah.
And nobody would have butted an eyelid.
Yeah, and as you said, that was just the efforts that were goal bound and was denied on the line. Like I said at the start, Cove were relentless. It was, you know, chance after chance, and the midfield, like I said, it was almost non existent. Normally, if we're from our below par as a team, you normally count your midfield that they will give going forward and back. You know, they'll give something, but no, Saturday was well below it and really frustrating.
Yeah, the injury to Simon Ferry after, what, 3-4 minutes just kind of... I mean, I don't even care if that would have even changed things at all. I just think that Cole would have been that good. It wouldn't have, might have, if it was him or somebody else was playing on there, but that just kind of sums up how things are going at the minute. You chuck him back in to play where you think would be play a significant role, and then he's off after 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes, and then you've got Ryan Conroy playing in that position, who, okay, maybe is a natural midfielder, but he certainly isn't a holding midfielder, and there is a difference. It was unfortunate for him, but it just kind of sums up where we're at, and in the way, I don't want to say the luck's against us, but can I make your own luck near again? But I don't think his injury would have made any difference to the outcome of the game.
No, I mentioned before the game, I was delighted that Simon was back in, and 4 minutes in, oh, and being back, he goes off. Like you, I don't think that would have changed the game. Hindsight's a wonderful thing as well, but could he have put Flynn Duffy in that role, breaking things up? You know, his first game at Balmuri, he was good. Him and Conroy linked up well, but Conroy was a left back, and Flynn was sort of like that holding midfield player. But again, it's things that I don't think would have made a big difference in the grand scheme of things.
And significantly for me as well, you mentioned about Scott Brown, not in his best game. I think maybe for the first time since he's been captain, and we've spoken before about how non-vocal he is being a captain, he was giving it to some of the players on Saturday. So I don't know if that's a case of he recognises that he needs to do something. It's frustration with the players that he's speaking to, or maybe a frustration on his own part because he wasn't playing well. It was a combination of something, but I just kind of noticed that on Saturday. I thought, oh, that's... There's something that twigged in him that he needs to do something.
Yeah, I personally think it's a combination of three, like you've just said, with the issues. And you sort of kind of, it's bad when Scott is shouting, because we've said numerous times he's not that sort of guy, but sometimes you need your captain just to step up and say, look, you're having a honking game, but your idea's up. But then that goes into training as well. There's no point in letting it go. When you go into training tomorrow night, you've got to be right at them again, like you were poor on Saturday, you need to buck up.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, then it just becomes looks for show. You know, you've got the fans running about you. You said there's a fair crowd at Cove, so it's all right being in the game, but you've got to deep behind closed doors and pinpoint and say, look, you weren't good enough. You need to step up to the mark.
And we mentioned the chances that they had. I mean, Jason Brown getting dispossessed by Rory McAllister, and McAllister just comes from behind, takes a bar for him, and again, Brett Long can save the shot. But that just kind of summed up how the half went. It was just like, it didn't matter if they did, somebody in a blue shirt was there, and it was lucky that Brett Long was there, because that should have been the first, that should have been really the opening goal, other than obviously the two off the line. But that kind of thing's, you kind of put your finger on as to what was going on.
You normally look at games back and you think that, you know, that caused that problem or that caused that. But in this game, you look at back and there's nothing, as you said, to pinpoint one thing that was the problem. It's a combination of a heap of things. And there's only so many games I think you can chalk off as a bad day at the office. Kind of Airdrie, you sort of say, like, I was poor and would sort of bucket of ideas. Cove was maybe the right game to play. Turns out it wasn't, it because we got battered. But then you go into a game next on Saturday against Queen's Park. I mean, there's just so many things that, it's not a case of the things that are going against us. The players make their own luck and they've got to be better, but there's no point in dwelling on it, and they need to shape up quick.
And there was a big shout for a penalty as well. I think most folk within the stadium thought it would have been a penalty when I think it was Megginson that got pulled down just before half time, and referee Callum Scott, who we had up here at Balmoor just a few weeks ago, likes to talk, likes to kind of emphasise his authority in the wrong manner. I think he, again, had another poor game, and that should have been really been a penalty. And again, if he'd given it and they scored, I think nobody would have had a problem with it.
No, absolutely, you're bang on. Referee and you know, it's been questionable in the league for ages now. But again, I'm like you, I'm surprised he didn't give a penalty. And had he given it, I think there'd have been much complaints from the guys in the park or on the bench.
So you're getting it 0-0 at half time, incredibly. Getting it 0-0 at half time, and everybody's sort of thinking, well, shouldn't we should be 4-doing, 5-doing, whatever. And you would have thought then, right, okay, that's a chance to get in, you know, can get stuck into the playoffs, get them sorted out. But then again, it's just nothing really seemed to sparkle in the second half again.
Do you think is that a concern? That players in a derby game have gone in at half-time 0-0 after the first half performance, and Jim and Davey and Simon kind of get that spark and reaction?
We don't care if it goes on in the dressing room, but I'd like to think that Jim or Davey or Simon or somebody had been given the players what for and give them pelters. Now, if that's the case, the players have come out and they haven't reacted to it, or they haven't listened to the instructions or whatever it is, then yes, that is a big concern. It wouldn't be the first time as well, because I remember we spoke on a forum about a particular game. I think it was a Queen's Park game. Certain players were accused of not listening or not taking in instructions. So if that's the case, then there's obviously a theme emerging. You could argue, oh, you like it, you know, it's young players, they're learning the game and all that. So if you learn the game, you've got to listen to the guys that's telling you how to do it, because these guys have done it, and they've done it for a long time. So I would be concerned if that's a theme that's coming through.
Yeah, it was a Queen's Park game. I remember speaking to you afterwards about it. You know, a player in particular was mentioned, but it is a concern. I think if there is, like you said, these guys, Davey and Jim, sorry, they've been in the game for a long time now, and these young lads, yes, granted, they're coming through, and there are maybe sometimes you want to get that spark at the time, but for it to be as poor in the second half, probably even worse than it was in the first half, sometimes you need a different voice. And you're looking, is that for Scott Brown steps in? He's not as vocal on the pitch, but sometimes that's something he could maybe do in the changing room. Like you said, with that game that goes on behind closed doors, we'd like to think that they were given a bit of a talking to, but based on what we've seen in the second half, questionable.
Yeah, and then almost straight away, second half, Flynn Duffy, this time off the line. Again, I think it was Megginson that went through. Brett Long came out a long way and was
and
far away was that, you could just tell he was like 5 yards off it and he was never going to get there. We've given him a lot of credit this season for his saves and things like that, but even he had a bad game, and he just was nowhere near it. And again, lucky Flynn Duffy was there to chase it down and stop it for getting in.
Yeah, when I seen Brett running out, I thought there's only one winner here, and it wasn't our goalkeeper.
It wasn't even close either.
No. So sometimes you can just be a couple of seconds out. He was a fair few seconds away from getting that ball. And again, it just summed up sort of the afternoon, even where, or to me, the player of the season so far is making decision-making errors, which, you know, you can count in the one hand how many errors Brett's made this season, especially with decision-making. But that was one that could have been more costly.
And then the goal, the opening goal, on the 49th minute. Incredibly, it took them that long to score. I think this is a particularly annoying kind of goal to concede, because it's such a simple goal to concede. It's from a corner. I think it's Morgan Neal that wins a header at the back post. No, it is. He's just knocked it back into an area. Yeah. Ryan Strachan's all on his own and just is the easiest to tap ends.
There's nobody within about 2-3 yards of him. There's three players like sort of drawn towards the goal line. You know, the space isn't got a score, it's got to be the player. Surely one of them's got to. Yeah, if he's coming forward for the corner, surely somebody's got to be marking him. They're sort of looking at the ball. As you said, Neil's headed it down. They're still watching the ball or retracting back to the goal line rather than closing Ryan Strachan. To be fair, he probably could have had time to take a touch and then put it in the back of the net. He's 3 yards out, for crying out loud. Yeah, and that, as soon as they went 1-0 up, we were never getting anything for the game.
Yeah, you almost kind of thought that the floodgates would maybe open, and it did. I mean, it was, I wouldn't say it was chance after chance. I just kind of felt that once they got in the goal, I think they were more comfortable. The longer it went nil nil, I felt that it maybe got in a bit edgier. But it took him. It didn't take him until the 79th minute before they actually got the second. So for large spells of the game, it was one way traffic. I mean, somebody like Shea Logan, who obviously was Premier League not that long ago, we made him look so easy. It made him look good again. And I can. Folk will say, "Oh, well, can I?" He was Aberdeen a couple of seasons or last season, and
that's nothing to write him about. But
I mean, somebody like him shouldn't be coming down and getting it that easy.
Yeah,
that's better. That's what I'm trying to say. But it was made to look easy. Hardly broke sweat the whole game, drawing up at doing that wing, and I think he could have had a chance as well at one point. I think. McIntosh should have played him in, but he didn't. But you know, once Megginson gets the second goal, I mean that's it. Because in my notes that I've written here, between the 49th minute and them scoring and Megginson scoring, there's nothing in terms of to happen at the other end, and that is a major concern.
Yeah, well, like I said, the start was it was one shot on target for Peter Heaton. It was right at the death. You know, it was 2-0 at the time, but again, we're not creating nothing. It's not even like we're just missing target or we're getting corners and it's just chances going over the bar. We're literally, at the moment, doing nothing up top. But we're also shipping in a load of goals.
Mm.
So it's which area of the park do you try and work on first? Do you try and win the game 5-4 or do you try and win it 1-0 and keep it tight at the back? It's that thing in football, you know, if you're not scoring goals, keep it tight at the back. Well, we're not scoring and we're shipping a fair few goals. Granted, we got points against Montrose and Falkirk, but again, even in them games, Falkirk, you know, could have had 2 or 3 mm-hmm. start of the second half alone. So yeah, it is worrying. There's only so many times you can put Dean to a bad day at the office, and there needs to be a change somewhere. And I mean that in terms of whether it's personnel on the pitch, because you could almost on a Saturday morning predict the 7 or 8 starting players. Is that again a problem? Mm-hmm. Do players need to drop out for a while? Or a change of formation, but sticking to a formation that suits the players, because we chop and change depending on personnel, I don't think that helps either. But yeah, there needs to be a change for the team.
The penalty then that they did get, I don't think there's any arguments with it either, is there?
No, stonewaller.
No, absolute stonewaller. I think it was one of the very few decisions that the referee got right, and then Megginson puts it away. Really good penalty, actually. I thought it was right in the top corner. They'd be saving it, and I think virtually the last kick of the game. But as you said, the disappointing thing was there was only one real opportunity, and that was a header for Derek Lyle. Other than that, nothing else.
Nothing to write home about.
McKenzie in the Cove goal.
He wouldn't need to wash his kit.
He was sorry. There was the one. I guess it's like a half kind of chance for Savory when he was through in goal, but it didn't really come to much. And we're really clutching at straws if we were calling that a chance, like. But it's just massively disappointing. I kind of put it on the other term.
But I hope the players are feeling the disappointment as much as the fans are, because it's, you know, it can be a bit of a gimme. You sit here and we mention things about the club and how disappointing it is, but there's a lot of angry fans on Saturday night on social media, and rightly so. You know, folk will think, oh, they're only travelling to Aberdeen, but still, they've given up their day, paid money to watch the team, and they put in that sort of performance. I generally hope that the players are realising how much the fans are hurting, and especially a Cove game as well.
Yeah, right. So we'll get the thoughts now of the manager, Jim McAnally. This is what he had to say after the game.
What's your assessment on that? Good result. It's always a good result for us. Probably 6, 7, or 8, I should have been. Probably after the fights in the game. In every department, we were well beat. Which put it down to. They were better than us by a long way. So I don't know. You just seen the same as I seen.
Yeah.
So, sort of think, see nothing. It was a good result.
What was the kind of the biggest disappointment for you?
It's the performance. They never turned up. They were soft. It took them 90 minutes to get in behind. They weren't clear. It's the sad thing is, a 41-year-old at the game. And it shows a wee bit of enthusiasm. So, I don't know. It's not good enough.
It's kind of hard to lift yourself after a performance like that, isn't it?
Well, we'll need to lift ourselves. I mean, at the end of the day, move on again. We don't play teams as good as Cove. They have fantastic movement. You know, they're all out of the park, they've now got their day in. And, don't know, maybe we're too young. Maybe we're too young, especially in the full-back areas. But it's not just the young players. You know what I mean? We were just poor. All over the park, really. And the McCarthy's only one, maybe, that you would exonerate, but even he wasn't as good as he can be.
What was the injury to Simon?
Just the same injury. Just the same. I think Jason has got his contact lens was maybe stuck in his eye. So, but I got, listen, we were well beat before Jason had any hassles. I mean, it could have been 4 or 5 during the first half, to be fair. So, there's no excuses. There's no excuses. We just need to dust ourselves down and move on. We've just been given a lesson.
You can probably tell by the tone, he wasn't very happy. I think he was keeping his full emotions to himself. Mm-hmm. It was quite clear that he wasn't very happy. It was more the things he didn't say, I think, were more significant.
Yeah, surprising that he said publicly that he didn't again. But the problem was, that's a worry. It's not the first time Jim said it. He's happy with the result that we've gotten beat because it could have been Mayor. So yeah, I'm starting to think that, you know, there is maybe a problem with the players listening to Fitty's trying to say, Fitty's putting out the things that they're training on. Because yeah, you can come out flippantly and say, yeah, 3-0 is a good result because it could have been 5 or 6. But he's asked the question, Fit went wrong. And he said that Cove are better in every department. Yeah, we know that, but you know, you've got to find out within 10, 15 minutes that there's a problem. You need to do something about it.
He did also say as well that he felt that he used the word soft, which, again, it's probably a bit of an understatement. Yeah. When you're going into a derby game, a game like that, going up against a local team, you need to be tougher, you need to be stronger. And the players just didn't do that. And, again, he said it was 3-0 and it was a good result, but yes, there was a flippancy, there was a sarcasm about it, but I just think that he wants to kind of say, he does obviously don't want to say it in front of us, he doesn't want to say it in front of the press, but I'm hoping he said his piece to the players.
Well, I think we'll find out by Saturday, by the type of performance you get. Now, I'm aware that it's Queen's Park for a really good side, but going by Jim's media coverage and the fan reaction after the game, you're expecting some sort of response, because, well, we've said now for half an hour Saturday wasn't good enough and there needs to be a change somewhere.
Yeah, and we just hope that, as you said, hope that the players are kind of taken on board. If it's been said, not just by us, but by other folk and by the management especially, hope they realise that these performances just aren't good enough.
I ken they're young players, but they wouldn't learn much trade if they're putting in performances like that with respect to Peter Heade. They wouldn't cut it, you know, Dundee United or any Championship, Premiership clubs, they wouldn't cut it. But they need to be taking things on board, and if they're not taking things on board, then you'd have played them 90 minutes. I ken Jim couldn't substitute 11 players on Saturday, but it's not the first time we've heard that players weren't listening to instructions. I'm not saying that's what we said on Saturday, mm-hmm. but you would go by the general appearance of if it happened, that surely that's not the team that Jim put out to play in that way.
Right, so let's get the thoughts on a couple of the players then. First, we're going to hear for Naya Payne, then we'll hear for David Wilson.
Right, Naya, how do you sum up that one then?
Just my performance, just wasn't at it. There was a very good well-drilled side, and we just didn't match them today.
I think for the almost the first whistle, it was kind of backs the goal kind of thing. Did that kind of early pressure for them kind of put you off your game slightly, maybe?
No, I wouldn't even say that. I just say that they were just well organised, and we were literally just off the pace. We didn't come here like fearing them or could not like back up against them, but we knew that they were a good side, and we knew if we were at it, we'd get punished. Well,
can you put your finger on as to why so many players were off today?
Literally, no. Obviously, I just feel like it was just one of them days where they just kind of got the better of us in like 1v1 like battles, and this is a team that just seemed a bit more organised than us today. Yeah, just winning days.
Is it a lesson then to see that, you know, where we want to get to, there's that maybe a gap to maybe the top end?
Yeah, but I just feel like as a team we've got the players, and on our day we can beat any team, but literally just today wasn't our day, so I feel like it might show that they are faster today, but on another day we could get a result.
Yeah, how did you find it yourself up front? You know, it's quite isolated at times, yourself and Russell for a start, and then
yeah,
Derek.
It was isolated, just felt like because we were so pinned in, we were getting the ball really deep and not really in any threatening positions today, so it was difficult. But yeah, it was just one of them days where you just had to try to work hard for the team and just try to put your best foot forward. Obviously, we didn't today, but after everyone was trying to work hard.
So how do you pick yourself up for the next game? Because it's going to be even tougher for the next game, isn't it?
Definitely, but I just feel like as a team, we've got to come together, stick together as a group, and literally just try to put it right and put on a performance and get a result.
David, how do you sum that one?
I mean, you can't really say much after that. We were out-battled, we were out-fought, you know. All through the team, from the defence right through to the strikers, and we just never got a foothold in the game. And then we get away with it in the first half. We come in at 0-0, and you think, you know, you've got a chance to put it right second half, and then came out. It was just exactly the same in the second half as well. We just, for whatever reason, couldn't get close to them. You know, with their movement in behind, you know, it was just a struggle.
You said they got away with it first half, clearances off the line, shots off the bar, things like that. Can you kind of explain maybe how bad it maybe was?
It's difficult to put your finger on one specific thing. I think it was just all over. Yeah. I don't know, we just seem to be half a yard off it today. And I'm not really sure why, because training's been really good and all the boys are buzzing and up for the game, and just... It's just, you get maybe one or two games out of that season. Well, it has to only be one or two games out of that season, because I don't think we've put in our worst performance so far, certainly not since I've been here, and we can't put in one as bad as that again.
Yeah, it just seemed to be, no matter what department it was, everybody just seemed to be off.
You know, we tried to change the shape, but I just didn't know, they always seem to have an extra man somewhere, and we couldn't deal with it. And then, say, first half, it could have been 3 or 4 at half time, but you think you get away with it, and then you come out, and then they score just after half time from a set piece, which should never happen. And then that just gives them even more momentum than what they had.
Is that a killer kind of time to get that kind of goal just so early in the second half? It's such a simple goal as well.
I think it gives them confidence, but you know, if you keep conceding corners and free kicks in around the box, you know, eventually you can't defend every single one. I don't know how many there were, but I felt like we're just constantly defending our 6-yard box at times with clearance off the line. Brett's had one onto the bar, and you know, eventually your luck's going to run out, and it did early in the second half.
You mentioned that it's possibly the worst performance you've the team since you've been here, but other than that, how have you found it since you've arrived here?
It's been good. You know, the boys are really good. We're a young team, but we're all pulling in the same direction, and hopefully this is just a one-off, and say it's only 3 points, and it's horrendous, but the positive you need to put on it is that we've got another chance to next week. Obviously it's against Queen's Park, it's going to be a tough game, but you know, we need to put this right. We'll work on it training on Tuesday, and then get it out of our minds as quickly as possible, and go and focus on next Saturday and try and put that performance right.
Both players there, obviously quite disappointed. I thought David in particular was quite honest with his assessment.
Yeah, he comes across really well. David spoke honestly as well, I thought. There he mentioned we got away with it in the first half and the need to sort it out for a second, and they were out fought and out battled, is that the words?
I think that's what he said, yeah.
So again, that's telling as well, that even they're coming out publicly and saying they were out fought and out battled. That's sort of one of them things in football that, you know, you give 100%, you work hard. But he's right, they've got to go into training on Tuesday night, and they've got to have a debrief about it, but then they've quickly got to get out of their system, because you turn up against Queen's Park like that and you could be facing 6 or 7.
Naya as well sounded extremely disappointed, and he rightly said as well that it doesn't matter fit the dead, they were just kind of out-fought, out-battled. It seems like a cliche thing to say, but I think compared to what David said, I think David was slightly more honest about it. Naya maybe was just kind of playing the kind of cliche kind of football and answer. But you could just tell that they were disappointed, and as I'm saying, what we're saying earlier, I hope they kind of take this kind of on board and realise that they cannot perform like that again.
They'd be critical, but the interviews last Monday, the players were disappointed last Saturday with the way they played at Airdrie, and I thought there would be a response to it. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm definitely looking for a response next Saturday. But yeah, I mean, rightly so, they should be disappointed, because as I've said before, fans are disappointed. So, you know, I expect to see a reaction on Saturday of some sort.
As you said, we spoke to David Wilson there. How have you found him, or how do you assess his performances since he's arrived? 6 or 7 appearances now he's got under his belt, so he seems to be holding down a first team place as well.
Yeah, he's been good. I thought when he first came in, Jason and Andy McDonald were just starting to get a good partnership going, centre back, and then obviously David managed to dispossess them and get a start, and he's done well since he's come in. Looks calm, looks assured, which is ironic given that we've just spoken about the last couple of games. But yeah, I think he's a good player and a good addition to the squad.
And somebody else that can play a couple of different positions as well, can play right back as well. So we'll see how he kind of continues. But in that kind of frame of mind, he's obviously slotted in alongside Jason and Andy the last sort of few games, playing at back three, back five, sort of thing. Do we look at that kind of formation now and you think, well, it's maybe not working as well as it was? Was it working maybe against, shall we say, weaker sides? Try to be polite. You know, we can go to Alawa and score 4 against them. Okay, we did score 5 against Dumbarton in a freak kind of conditions. Yeah. But when you're up against sides like Cove or Airdrie or something like that, can you really look at it and say, well, can we play a back five, or do you really need that extra man in midfield?
I think against the better teams, we are needing an extra man in midfield. It's cliche to say, but I think we got overrun. There's too big a gap between defence and midfield. And I think we are lacking a body in there. So maybe against the so-called weaker teams, we can use that formation. But when we're playing against the bigger teams or the stronger teams, especially physicality as well, we maybe do need to change it.
And he did, it's points of the game, I think, in the second half, he did switch it to a back four. David Wilson did go to right back. And then Josh Mulligan was playing almost as a right winger, playing alongside Russell McLean, and Naya was off the left, so he kind of reverted back that 4-3-3, 4-5-1. And it did seem to kind of work, but again, that kind of overrun in midfield was obvious in the first half. So I think the issue Jim has is he doesn't want to drop Josh Mulligan, because he had been playing so well and been playing so well up that right hand side. So you can't really drop him. So I think if you're looking at it, he has to either drop one of the three, or he drops Flynn Duffy and moves Andy McDonald left back, which I don't think is an option, to be honest, in my opinion.
I don't think we can drop Mulligan. I think he is a player that is sort of like an outlet for us. He's got the pace, he's quite strong, he's willing to go forward. I think we've got to keep him. We maybe do need to revert to that, the back four. You know, and I think McDonald at left back is the right option, but he's now got the problem, Jim, where he's got Jason, Andy and David for centre back, but potentially only needing 2.
Yeah.
If he goes to a back four,
I think the other thing he's got going against him as well is Simon Ferry's injuries. Now obviously, as we mentioned earlier on, he came back from an injury, played 3 or 4 minutes and was off again. So that's an issue for him, because he likes having Simon in that holding role, and there's nobody else really that can play there. if you take Scott Brown into there, you lose something for him. If you put Andy McCarthy in there, you lose something for him. Ryan Conroy played in there on Saturday. It's Snaith's natural position. You mentioned Flynn Duffy could possibly play in there. You know, we'll have to wait until January until Jadel comes back, but he could be an option for playing in there. But right now, yeah, there is an issue with that midfield.
Yeah, there is a problem. And obviously, Simon's not going to be able to play every game. But Flynn Duffy's first game, he went into that midfield sort of role, and there's him and Simon Ferry, and Flynn at times did drop deeper. It's maybe an option to put him in there as a temporary measure, as a stopgap, and just tell him, you sit there in front of the back, three, four, whatever it's got to be, and you didn't you did cross halfway,
yeah,
and you allow Scott Brown, Hamish Ritchie to go forward. Because I think the personnel that we've got at our disposal, I think he'd be the player that I think would be more suited to that role, breaking things up and giving it to other players out wide and, you know, starting an attack.
It's weird to say, but he maybe doesn't again. I think he knows who his best players are, but he's trying to find a formation and a style that it fits. I think that seems like a strange thing to kind of say, but you've got almost got an overload of players who can play in the same sort of positions.
Yeah, but I would like to think by the middle of November now he would cane what he's wanting to play in.
Yeah.
Because before he signs up players, he's obviously got this idea in mind of what he wants to go with before bringing in this recruits. And also the board backed him with a couple of late additions. We weren't expecting them. We got two or three in. So I'd like to think he canes what he's wanting to do. It's just evidently not working at the moment. But, you know, they need to try. And everybody needs to come together from top to bottom.
So we'll move on to the next game, which is another game against a top end team, Queen's Park. This is obviously a different Queen's Park to the Queen's Parks that we've played in years gone by. Now heavily backed financially, a lot of players that are playing for them, i.e., like Simon Murray, that probably wouldn't have been playing for them if they didn't have the financial backing. So if you look at kind of the overall record, which is 24 league wins for us and 10 wins for them, I think that is non-existent. New, right? It just showed, as I said, there's just a different side, a different kind of obstacle or opponent now.
Yeah, as you said, they're heavily backed. They are a good outfit. You know, I did think when they come up this season that they would do well. The Hinna surprised me by how well they've done. You sort of expected it. Probably a similar type game to what we had doing at Firhill. Is that where they're playing the games at? I think it will be an open game, and it could almost be a bit like basketball, and I think if it becomes that sort of game for us, we're in danger.
Yeah, unlike Cove, their goals are a bit more spread throughout the team, the squad. I think I said last week that, you know, Megginson and McAllister and Leach, I think, if they're the only ones that's really getting the goals.
Yeah.
Queen's Park, you can take your pick in terms of who can score goals. A lot of them have got 3, 4, 5 goals this season, and it's not just reliant on one man or two men.
I think that's why they're so good, because they have got options for all over the park. There's not just one player that you could think, you mark him out of the game and you'll be fine. They've got goals all over. Like I said, they've got that threat. And Jim's question's got his task for the weekend is to figure out how to go about stopping them.
Clutching at straws again here, but they've got no wins in 4. They've got 3 draws in the last 3 games. Draws against Cove, and I think significantly more against East Fife and Clyde, sides that you would think they should be beating. They haven't beaten. So, as I said, no wins in 4, which is now the same as what we are, with 2 draws and 2 defeats. So
I would take a draw.
Weirdly, I think I probably would as well, just to kind of stop that kind of rot a little bit. But, you know, they're maybe just heading a patch far. They're finding it a little bit sticky against sides like at the bottom end.
Yeah, playing against teams like Airdrie and Clyde from Queens are expected to win the game. The opponents are set up slightly different than Fat Cove or a Montrose or that would for its mayor even. So I think the problem we've got is we're struggling to defend at the moment. So I don't think we can go in with that mentality of trying to keep it tight, because I think that's working. It's literally got to be a case of seeing how Queen set up. Jim will ken it better than us, but he's got to try and figure out how we go about stopping him. And that's got to be a thankless task, as we said, there's goals all over the park.
Yeah, and you start to kind of worry about a side like Queen's Park coming up here, but it's the home form, it's keeping us afloat at the minute. There's 3 wins, 2 draws and 2 defeats, so it is just ticking over at home. And if we are to kind of survive, and we are using that word survive, because a few weeks ago we were talking about the top end, yeah. Now we're kind of looking at the bottom. I think if to keep ourselves our head above the water, we need to win at home more often than not.
Yeah, I'd agree. Our home form is crucial. Like most of teams in the lower half of the table, based on your home form, will decide where you get finishing the table. I do hate doubts over this game on Saturday, because, as I said, performances for us over the last couple of weeks have been good. Kane, as you said, your stats are Queen's aren't on the best of form, but they have got players that you feel you give them a half chance and they will do something with it. Whereas at the moment, I'm feeling if we get a half chance, I'm more likely get a snatch at it because of frustration. Mm-hmm. It's a cliched word again in football, but the first goal is crucial, because you take the lead, you've something to hang on to, you maybe get a crowd behind you and you get that bit of confidence. You lose a goal, even an early goal, and we're going to be in a bit of bother.
Yeah, it sounds depressing. Again, it seems to be the kind of theme of the season so far. You just don't know what to come back in next week again and almost repeat yourself.
We could just take half of last week's podcast and half of this week's and just mash it up for next week.
It's getting that kind of way where we're almost kind of trying to say the same things but in a different way.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating.
The only advantage is the players know that Saturday and even the week before at Airdrie wasn't good enough, and it's only them that can change it. Jim and Davey can only say much up until they hit that white line. The players have got to take the instructions on board and go for there, and they've got to manage the game in game as well. They can't just wait for Jim and Davey to shout every tackle and every incident for them. They've got to be better, but the guys realise that.
Yeah, you're almost waiting for somebody just to take the kind of bull by the horns and just say, right, let's get a grip of this game.
Yes.
And so far, that's not happening. And we just hope that somebody does just start to take that mantle on.
You're looking for characters in the dressing room. When things aren't going great, that's when these characters come to the forefront. So hopefully, Saturday. Doesn't need necessarily be your captain. You need guys running about him to lift the team, and hopefully we'll see a reaction.
Okay, then that'll be it for this week. We do hope you've enjoyed it, as depressing as it maybe was. But as always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me, and we'll be back again next week. So until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon.